Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. I'm always thrilled when you tune in and invite me into your home or car or whatever you're doing right now. It's great to spend time together as we journey through life together. We need our fellowship. We need accountability. And we just need to hang out together. So this is good. I want to thank the power panel that was in the studio. Kind of smells like a locker room in here right now. All that testosterone here in the studio. So I think we aired it out, and it's all good now. But thanks to Dr. Peter Kapsner and Dr. Jim Bilby and Pastor Tom Brock. Always fun to have Guy Talk. It's getting to be a favorite segment of mine. I hope you enjoy it, too. So thank you to those men that made time to come in today. Say, if you have not made plans, there is the great conference coming up this weekend.
The Set Apart Conference.
The Set Apart Conference, and it is still possible to go and sign up for that.
I believe so. They may have a spot or two.
Okay, and you go to myfaithradio.com and check for the Set Apart Conference, and you can find out more information about that. And we're also giving away a great new Bible study that is...
Yes, Jill Briscoe's.
Jill Briscoe's, yes, because she's going to be at the conference.
Yeah, she's one of the keynotes. We've had her on as a guest on the radio, and it was to our great delight because she just has so many stories,
charming.
Years and years of faithfulness, and this new devotional would be really interesting, I think, for people. If whether you can come and hear her speak this weekend or whether you just want to benefit from her wisdom, and they could actually enter to win those devotionals at myfaithradio.com.
Rebecca, being uninformed is no deterrent to having my mouth move. I start a sentence going, I'm talking about a conference that I don't even know anything about.
Well, it is a women's conference.
That's why I don't know much about it.
So that's okay. We're all in this together.
But it's a set-apart conference.
Yes.
And Jim Briscoe is going to be there. And also our friend Annie Downs.
Yes.
Annie F. Downs.
Yes.
Who's great.
So
she was on the program.
Lots of fun.
A lot of fun. That's a lot of laughs. So if you don't have anything to do this weekend and you want to go to the set-apart conference, go to myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It'll be great. All right, we're going to talk about hospitality today, which I don't know. I think, Rebecca, you and I say we both struggle with that.
Yeah, I wonder if certain people are maybe slightly better at it than others, or if it's something, a skill that we can all learn, and it feels like something I should be better at.
Is it a gift? Is it like a spiritual gift?
I think it is, but is it something that I have and I'm just not exercising it?
We need to find out.
So many questions.
I know. Well, so let's take a break. When we come back, Bev Canaris is in my studio. We will be back in 60 seconds.
I'm Dr. Alan Kierden, president of the University of Northwestern and Northwestern Media. Join me in celebrating 70 years of ministry for Faith Radio. Faith Radio has been a trusted voice for 70 years, sharing the good news of the gospel and helping listeners grow in their faith. God has been faithful to this ministry, and we're grateful for the legacy of lives changed. Faith Radio continues to broadcast the truth and the hope of Christ today, thanks to the financial support of so many generous listeners. So thank you, and I'm happy to wish Faith Radio a happy 70th anniversary.
Change can be confusing and hard, but it can also be exciting. There have been a few changes recently at Faith Radio, and we want to give you a brief update. We've added some new voices and shows to our daily lineup. If you'd like any information about these shows and where to find your favorite hosts and shows on the air, check out your local station schedule today. Find it online at myfaithradio.com under the Schedules tab. That's myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Bev Canaris is in my studio. She is a wife, a mother, a grandmother. She taught Bible study fellowship for 30 years. So she loves to speak and teach and mentor. She loves to mentor, but she loves to teach the Bible and share the gospel of Jesus. She wants to raise up Christian leaders to serve the church, and she loves hospitality. And we're going to talk about that today. Bev, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
So let's start finding out what that word means. What does hospitality mean?
Well, when you think of hospitality, sometimes we think of entertaining. But I kind of see a difference between entertaining and hospitality. Entertaining is all about me, how well I can cook, how beautiful my home is, how perfect my life is. And it kind of puts people on edge rather than relaxed and really extending hospitality. I really consider hospitality a process of welcoming people into your home, giving them Christ's love. It is a way to love our neighbor. It's a stranger, but sometimes it's not a stranger. But it's really just opening our hearts and our homes to others. And God uses hospitality mightily. I like this sentence. Hospitality is the ministry of making others, often strangers, at home, in our home, by welcoming them and sharing our home with them, by providing food and shelter as needed. So I really see, like, that table. You know, we all have that table in our house where we have our meals. Using your table to strategically to share the love of God.
Mm-hmm. So would there be a difference between hospitality and entertaining, or are those sisters?
I think they're very different things.
Oh, okay.
People use the word interchangeably. I realize that. But in my mind, I like to consider it hospitality. It takes the pressure off of me, quite honestly. And it puts it more on focus on the guests rather than myself, and the focus on the Lord and what he wants to do with this time together with these people than just my skills on display.
Yeah. Bev, you've taught Bible study fellowship and been in front of hundreds and thousands of women, and you've had so many relationships. Have you been able to discuss this topic? Does this create anxiety to a high degree for women?
I think it does.
On average?
I think it feels pressure.
Okay.
Especially in today's world where we're all pressured and we're all short on time, and none of us really feels like we're the best cook, or we have the best house, or we have, you know, the best conversationalist. We don't. It brings out, I think, a lot of insecurities in us.
So there's probably many, many people that don't practice hospitality for the very reason that we just stated. My house isn't good enough. I can't cook well enough.
Right.
And the dog might bark the whole time.
Yeah, and they often do.
Right.
Because their dog is sure you're there to see them.
Yeah. So let's maybe discuss what the Bible says about hospitality.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Bible does specifically talk about it. At first I thought, well, is this just kind of one of those little minor things in the Christian life? Does it really matter? Is it that big of a deal in the church? And after I really looked at some verses here and looked at the examples in Scripture, I think it's a big deal. So let's just start with one verse from Hebrews, Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
I've always been fascinated with
this
verse.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
I thought you might be. So let's talk about it. To me, this really says that showing hospitality to strangers, we become the hands and feet of Jesus. And we're at once loving God, and we're serving the stranger and loving our neighbor. And another interesting picture of this point is on the road to Emmaus. This couple, whether they're two men or a man and a wife, is debated, but they're on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden the resurrected Jesus appears to them and starts talking to them of all these spiritual things, but Jesus withholds his identity from them until they invite him into their home, and he sits at their table, and then when he prayed, they saw who he was. So again, that power of that intimate place around the table, it revealed Christ at their table. And the stranger here could be an angel. Mm. You ever think about that? Like if someone's asking for money, or someone, the lonely elderly person in the nursing home, the homeless, maybe that person that looks very uncomfortable at church, that could be an angel, where God is maybe testing us to see if we are willing to reach out to someone who might be very different from us.
That's a lot to think about, Bev, because I've read that verse many times. I've been fascinated with this verse, thinking, I wonder, when you're showing measures of hospitality to someone, maybe they're in your home or maybe they're on the street, and you have this surreal encounter with a person, you walk away going, huh, was it like just a regular person, or did I just have an angelic encounter? I can't say I've done that many times, but I've done it once or twice. in my life.
Yeah, it raises our awareness that we're doing it as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the purpose of the verse is.
Mm-hmm.
When we're doing these things, we're doing them to Him. Matthew 25, Jesus said, "When you did these things to the least of them, you did them unto me." Visited in prison and did all these hospitable things for other people, even giving a cup of cold water. You did them to me. So I kind of think that verse connects with that angel idea as well, that we're,
mm-hmm.
the hospitality, the good deeds that we do them unto Him,
mm-hmm.
And bring His love.
I'm going to take a little break. If you are struggling with hospitality or you have a question about hospitality, I'd love to hear it, because this is such a big subject, and I think it's so personal. Everybody does it differently, and some people don't do it at all. Some people do it all the time, and maybe there's something we can learn from you as well. If you'd like to give me a text message at 877-933-2484, or you can call 877-933-2484. Bev Canaris is my guest. We'll take a short break and be back in about 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show. 16 minutes after the hour, Bev Canaris is in my studio. We're talking about hospitality. What does the Bible say about it? And is it a gift? And what's the difference between hospitality and entertaining? Are you good at offering hospitality to people? Maybe you've got something special that you'd love to share about hospitality. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. And Bev, so a great illustration in Hebrews about the person you might be entertaining may be an angel. That's a fascinating verse.
Intriguing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Is there another example in the Old Testament?
Well, this is going to be New Testament here, but this isn't quite as intriguing. This
mm-hmm.
kind of gets you. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. God loves a cheerful giver. So when we do show hospitality to others, we have to kind of check our attitude. Are we grumbling about it? Do we have right attitudes? What's our motives for it? So motives is always a big deal when we're doing something for the Lord. Why are you doing that? You want to have your motives right. So if you're grumbling about it, perhaps your motives need a check, your attitude need a check. When we are asked to show hospitality, there's two things here in this verse. First of all, we're to offer whatever God has given us to bless others. It's a matter of stewardship. If you have a home, it's been given to you by God, and He has a purpose for it beyond just housing your clothes and your family's clothes and your dishes. But He really has, He looks at a home a lot differently than we might. I think He looks at a home as a base, a warm, welcoming, intimate little society in itself, where you invite people in for intimacy. And it's more than just brick and mortar. And it is a matter of stewardship. If we've been given something, always the Lord asks us to steward it for Him, whether it's money, clothes, food, a home, whatever it might be, time. All of that is to be steward, or to be a steward of that with the Lord. Hospitality is really a powerful means to build up God's kingdom. You know, if it wasn't for hospitality, where would the early church have been? All of the early churches met in homes,
mm-hmm.
and that counted on hospitality. And you see that in the scriptures, those examples. In Romans 12, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. So we're to practice hospitality in order to help meet needs of other people. And that's going to really vary as according to each person. Some might be hurting over, grieving over the death of a lost one. Others may need to be built up in the Lord. It might be a mentoring situation. But I love what it says in this verse, practice hospitality. You know, it does take practice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of start small and work up from there. Take on a little bite of it, and you will grow in confidence as the Lord equips you. Another important point to show about the importance of hospitality in Scripture is that it's a qualification for an elder. In 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable. and
what does
teach
that mean
others.
In that verse? That mean he's good at the barbecue, or what does that mean?
Probably.
Yeah.
We love our barbecue, but I really think this really means is that the leadership of the church is to display this quality. They're to be welcoming as an example to others. They're to welcome, have that welcoming spirit.
Yes.
To be demonstrated
be
in the whole. Right. As an example. They're to welcome in the newcomers, welcome in those who don't know the Lord. They're to be willing to open their home for the Lord's work. I feel it kind of involves all of that. So if we want to be in leadership in the church, that, I think, is part of it.
Mm-hmm. It helps to be a little bit of an extrovert.
It does. It does. But there's a lot of helps out there, even to help the extrovert, the person who doesn't feel very secure doing this. There's so many ways to show hospitality. It doesn't have to be a sit-down dinner with five courses. You know, it can be a pot of chili on the stove. People come in the kitchen, grab a bowl, and take it into the living room, watch the game. Mm-hmm. That's hospitality. We kind of blow it out of proportion, and it's really just our own insecurities, I think, rather than, again, that's thinking about us, rather than thinking about our guests and their needs and showing the love of Christ to our guests.
Bev, what about hospitality outside the home? I know we're kind of focusing on the home. What about if you, you know, take a pan of brownies to the kids' game for the parents that are there? That's hospitality, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. And that's really what I think we need to distinguish here. There is a hospitality in the home, but not exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
It can be outside of the home. And certainly in our churches, we're to be hospitable. And that is always so important to welcoming new people. Bible studies, prayer groups, meeting in our homes, invite neighbors. I think also you can have a wonderful taking them out to dinner. Invite them out with you. Offer to pray for them. Invite to a Bible study or a church or a social event. Pick them up. These kinds of things really mean a lot to people who are looking to make friendships and connections. Hospitality is a wonderful way. So many people are so lonely today and so isolated on their phones. I mean, I even see it in my grandchildren at times. They seem more involved on their device than they are with their actual friends. And it's alarming. It's a kind of a negative trend, actually, because we need that one-on-one interaction with people. This is where the gospel is shared. This is where people feel loved. This is where relationships and intimacy happens within families around the table, and also bringing people into that intimacy of that home. Coming into your, inviting someone into your home is so intimate.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you were invited into someone's home for a meal besides a family member?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
Let's see, probably the late 70s.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It's not done very much. I mean, we have a lot of friends, and most of the time we say, well, let's go out. Let's meet at, you know, this restaurant or that restaurant. And that's great, and you can have fellowship, and you can do some kind of hospitality there as well, and draw people out and help them if they're hurting, whatever. You can do that out as well. But you know what I do? When I'm making like a Christmas list or I'm making a list for a wedding, something like that, I ask myself, have I ever been to this person's home? Have I ever had any kind of close connection with them?
Mm-hmm.
If I haven't, it's pretty easy to knock them off the list. Something happens when you go into someone's home. You really get to know them so much better.
Oh, so the people that you've gone into their homes, they're more in the inner circle list.
Yes.
Than the ones that you've not been in their home.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Think about what you learn. If I was to come into your place today, what would I learn about you? Maybe I don't want to know.
Yeah. We don't have enough time for that, Bev.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But
if I could revisit one point, you talked about the incredible loneliness that there is in today's world. And this is a little bit of a tough love thing, but don't, if you want to get a friend, you have to learn how to be a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that I know there's lonely people that wish they had company, but there's also the responsibility that we need to take to go be the friend that you want to have.
Exactly.
I know it's really hard, and I'm trying to be super, you know, compassionate right now.
It is, and it's hard to take the first step. sometimes when you feel like you're the new person, you kind of hang back and say, well, why aren't people reaching out to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't I being included? But perhaps, you know, we need to kind of turn the table on ourselves and ask, why am I not being proactive here and inviting over these three women or these three guys that, you know, we want to get to know each other better, or these couples, we want to get to know each other, these families. We have to take some initiative in order to develop intimate relationships. They don't just happen. And hospitality is a wonderful way to do that. Hospitality is powerful to share the gospel as well. You break down barriers when you're sitting around a table together. You open hearts. You can talk about significant things instead of, you know, insignificant nothings. You can direct that conversation with some really good questions. And I know, Bill, you had a guest on yesterday, Joe Nyquist, who has written a little book about questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you use questions thoughtfully, not putting anybody on the spot, but something they'd love to answer and would enjoy talking about and would really love to hear what other people have to say too, you start to reveal each other's hearts. When I was in Bible study fellowship, we would have fellowships, of course, that's part of the ministry, and we always wanted to kind of direct the conversation towards the Lord, towards what we were learning. But if you're having someone over for dinner or whatever, a couple of questions I've asked is, what word describes your last year? The year behind you now, mm-hmm. What word would describe it? Really, we had wonderful discussion around our table in December about that. And then what are you looking forward to next year? So they're easy to answer questions. They're questions that don't put anybody on the spot. You don't want to put your guests on the spot. But yet you want to make sure you're drawing out all your guests. Very often one person can just sit there quiet. Well, it's the hostess' job to go in and to pull them out, to draw them out, to include them in the conversation. And sometimes that's not easy to do. Some people are pretty good with one word. And they won't be drawn out, but keep trying.
Yeah. Well, you're getting ready to host some friends or some people into your home. Do you have this anxiety when everyone arrives, like, oh, I hope this works well tonight? I hope the chemistry is right. I hope.
Like Mary Tyler Moore's parties.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm always a little hyper because I'm thinking, oh, you know, the food can bomb, and it has.
Sure.
I've had bombs. And what if this group of people that I'm bringing together don't jive together?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's some pressure there for the hostess. There's pressure that, gee, I didn't get the stickiness off my window.
Right.
That sliding glass door, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when you invite people into your home, you see every speck. And that can be uncomfortable, but you know what? You have to be determined and overcome those insecurities that's about you.
For the sake of the gospel. Bev Canaris is my guest. If you have been blessed or touched by someone's hospitality, or maybe someone has helped you become a more hospitable person, we'd love to hear that. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-93-FAITH is the number. That is a call or a text. We'll take a short break and be back with a special guest joining us. Welcome back to the show. So glad you joined me today. Bev Canaris is in my studio, and Bev is a regular guest. I always enjoy having her in. She taught Bible Study Fellowship for 30 years, and we're talking about hospitality today and what the Bible says about hospitality. There's great examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's so many different ways to do hospitality inside the home, outside the home. And, you know, sometimes, Bev, when we gather people around a table, great ideas are birthed. Ministries begin. So it's important to just have the fellowship as well.
It is.
And that's hospitality too, isn't it?
It is. For years, I had our staff at the Bible study come together once a month around my table, and I always made silly pot of soup, and we sat around there and we talked about where we're at, where we need to go, those kind of ideas. This is why we meet people for coffee and bagels, not just, you know, to sit in a room stark and stare at each other for ideas. I think that casual, relaxed atmosphere The walls, again, the walls go down. The mind is free. There's a non-judgmental attitude here. We're all kind of around the table. We're thinking together. It's powerful.
Now, there is a great story. I think you have the book in the studio right here about Rosario Butterfield, who's got a tremendous story, and it all started because she was invited to dinner.
Yes.
Is that correct?
It's correct.
Yeah.
Actually, she had written something in the local newspaper about promise keepers for their gender politics. She was the professor of female studies at a university, and this pastor answered her editorial with some questions. He wrote her a personal letter, and she wanted to throw it away but kept fishing it out of the garbage can. And finally, he asked her if you would like to discuss more. He wasn't attacking her. He was asking profound, deep spiritual questions of her, and she is a very smart woman and wanted to know these answers. The letters ended by inviting her to call him. So it took her a week, but she just felt drawn to call him. And he invited her over for dinner. And he said, however, if you're more comfortable, we can meet in a restaurant since we're strangers, basically. And she said, no, I want to do that. I was comfortable with the idea of going to his house. Now I'm reading from the book. The gay and lesbian community is also a community given to hospitality. I hone my hospitality gifts serving pasta to drag queens and queers, people like me. I prefer discussing matters of disagreement around a private table. Plus, I really wanted to see how Christians lived. I had never seen such a thing, so I took him up on it. I was excited to meet a real born-again Christian and find out why he believed such silly ideas. So this went on for 2 years of conversations and back and forth, and she started studying the scriptures, mm-hmm. and she received Christ. She did leave the lifestyle and is married, and you read the end of her book here, she's still practicing hospitality. She's taking in children. It's an amazing, you see that gift there in whatever lifestyle she was in. She understood the power of hospitality and what it can do in people's lives.
I think I remember there was the time when the pastor said, can I pray for the meal? And he sat and prayed about his shortcomings and his arrogance.
Yes, yes.
And his brokenness, and it's like, that's how they pray?
Yeah. Well, she always thought of Christians as being prideful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really kind of started breaking down that wall.
Yeah, it's a great story. And again, it's a great reminder that great things happen when we practice hospitality.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I've invited into the studio Carissa Rogers, and she was with the show for months and months and months and months, and she was doing the booking, and she has such a gift of hospitality that I was almost more excited for my guests experiencing her hospitality than I was my guests being with me in studio, because I knew the experience was going to be just outstanding, first class the whole way. So I thought, I want to invite Carissa in. So Carissa, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to hear where your gift of hospitality or your interest in hospitality, where it came from.
I think the seed was planted by my grandma Carol, and she always opened her home to everyone. She hosted international students quite a bit, and also just having the family over on a regular basis, always cooking meals for us from scratch. She pulled out her finest china even when she didn't need to. She just wanted to make sure that we had the best of the best. And one thing that stood out to me with her practicing hospitality is she never had an agenda and no time constraints. It always felt like we could be over there however long it took until we were fully satisfied, and then we could leave on our own. And so that's just something that really resonates with me and makes me want to practice that in the same way. Also, in the church, if you think about it, after service, there's a lot of people that just need that time to pray at the altar and to just be with other believers in their brokenness. And I don't ever see anybody, no security, rushing them out the door. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just so important that we just take the time to invest in people. And it's like my grandma Carol.
Yeah. And isn't it how it's so critical after church service to be connecting with people? And to be loving on them and to be, you know, they've got something on their plate that's significant, right?
Absolutely. When we were new to the church we go to, an older couple invited us over to their home with one of the staff from the church, with another family who had kids our same age. She made a turkey dinner for us. And then my mother-in-law had us over every Sunday after church. She wouldn't let us do anything. It was our time that we could just sit and relax, you know, the young moms, and the kids ran wild. She always did the best, too. You know, one of my sons loved lobster. One day we had lobster for Sunday after church.
Wow.
That's a grandma for you, you know, but that was her hospitality. She brought couples together. They were, you know, there were engagements and weddings because of her table coming together. And it's a beautiful example to follow, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
And how have you followed it?
Personally, I started in our one-bedroom apartment with a small baby in there as well, so it was kind of a tight space. But I was really convicted after an interview, actually, that you had, Bill, with Dave Runyon, who talked about the grid and get to knowing your neighbors. And it challenged us to make the grid. It just looks like a tic-tac-toe box. And if you could name the people that live next to you, on the front, behind you. And I was really convicted and said, I don't know anybody around me. And that's really sad, because even though I lived in an apartment building, I just knew that there was some great opportunity there. And so just started there. I started with my neighbor to our right. So she's a young gal, lived on her own, about 25 years old. She just has a heart of gold. She works with kids with special ed. And I could just tell that God put her on my heart for me to reach out to her and invite her over. And I thought, you know, how could I get her over? I just didn't know where to start. But one thing my husband and I love making is tacos. And we make really good tacos, by the way. So that was like
Did you hear that, Bill?
I did hear that.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was a good starting point. We just thought, hey, I won't say her name, but it's, you know, hey, do you want to come over for tacos some night? And turns out she loves tacos too. And then once we got her in the door, it's like the rest is history. We could tell God was working in the situation. We found out a lot of hurts and hangups that she was experiencing that we would have never known otherwise. And we're really good friends to this day. She watches our son a lot, just out of the kindness of her heart again. And it's just become a strong relationship that was built on just taking that step. The invitation.
Krista, that's so powerful. All right, here's a question came in from a listener. This is, I think, is very fascinating. First of all, she says, I'm so happy to hear you talking about hospitality. This is on the minds of many people. I have always wanted to invite people into my home, but I'm sad to say my husband and adult children are not open to it. Makes me very sad, especially during holidays. Any suggestions?
Well, maybe a good discussion on how could we do it in a way that you would be comfortable with. Would you be more comfortable with, you know, the pot of chili on the stove, nothing formal, but just having a good time, or plan an activity? Or could we go out for an activity with people and then invite them back for a brief time? You know, start out small and start praying about it, that their hearts could be changed.
Could it be something where she just has the ladies over for hospitality and maybe the husband
and adult
children are gone?
Do that during the day when he's working and the kids are gone. You know, gather yourself some good Christian girlfriends around you. That's powerful too.
And I would say also, just to help the husband and kids have a level of understanding as to why we're doing this. And it's not to make them feel uncomfortable, or it's just an opportunity that is God, it's a biblical mandate for Christians especially, but just helping them understand the importance of it might help them come around.
Yeah, or just to see a Christian family in their home environment, you know, have a movie night, have some kind of party around some sporting event. Let them see you as you really are as a Christian. That's like Rosaria. She was fascinated to see what Christians are like, you know, behind the closed doors. And that's a real opportunity there.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be 50-50, does it? I mean, you enjoy hospitality more than your husband, or the same, or who likes it more than the other, or
well, we're
how
pretty
does it work?
We're pretty the same on it.
Okay.
We both enjoy it, and we both have our jobs that we do when we entertain, and we really enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it our entire married life. This has been a part of what we do and who we are. I love having people in the home and just going deeper with people and sitting around that table. Last summer, I had all three of my brothers sitting around and their wives sitting around my table, and I can't tell you the joy I had.
I bet.
Oh, we don't get together very often. My parents are both gone, and that joy of looking around that table, and I got to tell you, by the end of the evening, we were all at a different level of loving one another and sharing those deep personal things. It happens around a table.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about cross-cultural hospitality experiences? Because I was working in Dublin, Ireland, and I was invited to a very wealthy person's home in Dublin. And the invitation came in the mail.
Oh,
and it said brunch will start at 12:30. And I thought, great, you know, and I'm an American, so I figured, you know, I'd be out of there by 2:30 or 3, right? Oh, I left at 10:40 that night.
Wow.
Yeah. It went on and on and on. And then we went into the media room, and there was stuff happening in there. And then all of a sudden, there was a latte in the afternoon. And it's like, well, I don't know. You starting to get hungry? And then it turned into dinner, and then it turned into more talk, and it was a day I'll never, ever, ever forget.
I do think cultures are different in the way they show hospitality. I think as Americans, we're a little slack on it, to tell you the truth. I think in the East, in the days of the Old Testament and the New Testament, hospitality was a sacred thing. And you would be shamed if you didn't offer somebody lodging and a meal, a stranger, to invite them in. Although after 3 days, you were supposed to be on your way. Their obligation was over to you. But that was sacred. And look at Jesus. He spent time in Mary and Martha's house, Simon the leper's, Zacchaeus' house, Mark's home, Matthew's, the tax collector, whoever lent him the house for the upper room Last Supper. He received hospitality, and when you receive hospitality from people, you identify with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You are identifying with those people. And I think cross-cultural type of hospitality, we could learn a few things.
I agree. We have a shorter attention span, and when we go to someone's house for a meal, we kind of think we're going to be in and out of there in 2 or 3 hours, tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is probably good.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm willing to pick that up right now in hospitality.
No, I'm not either, but it's interesting.
But it shows you the difference, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah, if you've been blessed by someone's hospitality in a significant way, or maybe you want to tell us about someone who helped you become more hospitable, we'd love to hear that story. You can send me a text or a call, 877-933-2484. Bev Canaris and Carissa Rogers are my guest in studio. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show. I am offering you grand hospitality today. I'm so glad you're with me. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Bev Canaris and Chris Rogers are in studio. Bev is a regular guest, Bible study fellowship teacher for 30 years, and we're talking about hospitality. And Carissa was part of the afternoon show team and offers hospitality to guests like no one else. She is the best. And I got a question from a caller. And the caller says, I'm just learning about hospitality, so I'm so glad you're discussing this. I'm a widow with three teenagers. I feel awkward inviting another family over because there's no counterpart for the husband. Am I overthinking this?
Well, in that position, I think you especially need people, and you need to have families around you that can support you in that. Your teenage children need to see other Christian families and how they operate and manage. And it would be more work because you're going to be doing it single-handed. But this might be a great time for potluck. We can do that, you know, just say, I'm going to put on some burgers on the grill or a hot dish. And would you guys like to come over? Maybe if you would be willing, would you bring a salad? And, you know, get popsicles for the kids and just keep it simple. Have there be some kind of a focus as to why you're getting together? I think that would help her feel more relaxed, but she definitely needs people, and she needs to be around other couples. I had a dear friend whose husband passed away in September, and I invited her to a couples Bible study, and she just loves it because she gets to hear other males talking about spiritual things and talking about their life. So I think you still need that.
Mm-hmm. Do widows or widowers become disadvantaged when they lose their mate because they're not a couple anymore?
Oh, I think that's it happens so easily, mm-hmm. but that's up to the rest of us to include.
Right.
And that's hospitality. Invite them in. Invite them with other couples. They don't want to be seen like the third wheel. Have them, you know, invite them out with just the two of you. Paul and I have done that. And we've, you know, had other couples with this gal at our home so that she would feel she still has these friends. You'd almost feel like you've lost your friends if they don't keep including you.
Mm-hmm. But there is certainly a new dynamic when now you've got a grieving widow or a widower in the group. I mean, it does change the chemistry, right?
It does, but if you've got history with this person.
Oh, no, I agree. No, yeah. I'm all for continuing the invites.
Mm-hmm. And I would hate to have this dear woman not be hospitable because she does not no longer have her husband by her side.
Oh, I agree.
I would just recommend she keep it simple and have some kind of a reason for it and mm-hmm. a focus. Mm-hmm. I think she would be very comfortable
yeah.
with that.
What about social media and Pinterest and all these things that you
oh,
see
yeah.
these perfect worlds with perfect meals and perfect everything, and you go, I can't compete with this.
That probably falls under the camp of the entertainment, as you mentioned earlier in the program, and how it's so easy to fall into the comparison trap and say, okay, my house is not perfect. What do I have to offer somebody? So it's just easier for you to make excuses and to not invite anybody over. But like I mentioned, I mean, we had a small one bedroom and it was nothing special, but it worked. And, you know, we still had people over. It was just not as many as we have the ability to now, just given our space has changed quite a bit. But
yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting to me that couples, when they get married, they get all this gear for entertaining. They want, and they buy this house. Gee, this will be perfect for entertaining. And then, you know, children come along, life gets busy, careers get, you know, pressured. And entertaining, quote, or having people into your home, it kind of falls off the list. There's just no more time for it. So you really have to be pretty deliberate about it. I asked a young woman not that long ago why people were not volunteering their homes for these groups that needed to meet. And she said to me, well, you know, the decorating is kind of out of date. I was just taken back by that. Who mm-hmm. would even put that at the top of the list? But we do. That's human nature. We always think we're going to be judged on what we have and how we perform. And, you know, you got to be secure in Christ. You got to know He loves me. He loves me the way I am. He's given me this. I should not be ashamed of what Christ has given me here. And, you know, put people above your own thoughts about you.
Mm-hmm. Isn't offering to pray with people a good expression of hospitality? A listener writes in.
It's on my list. Yeah. I think that is an excellent way. Well, again, the goal is intimacy of relationships. You pray with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That builds that relationship. You mm-hmm. got to be careful, though, with that. I think you always want to be being hospitable in praying with people means, you know, Bill, Carissa, would you mind if I prayed with you about that situation you just shared with me? I think the asking is polite.
Mm-hmm. I've got another caller or listener named Sanjay. He said, I'm part of the Asian Indian community here in the Twin Cities. When I go to someone's house who is from India, I just mentally block out about 4 hours on my calendar.
That's great.
Yeah, the church services are typically 2 hours long, and on Fridays there's a fellowship meal together after Bible study every week. I really enjoy the extended social time, and I've yet to see anything like it in American churches. I wish Americans could learn to linger longer.
Mm-hmm.
Bev is applauding. Bev is applauding.
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. yeah. You know, it's really valuing people. Christ really valued people. You look at the book of John, all these one-on-one encounters. He took time with people. And then we wonder why we're lonely, why we're harried, why we carry all of our burdens around. We're not sharing them with others. We're not having those intimate relationships that are meant to help decompress us. that are to give us an outward focus. We become very inward focused otherwise. Another thing I think we need to talk about, maybe Carissa and Bill, is the idea of it being costly. I think for some people, the idea of providing food for 8 people is a bit overwhelming, or 12.
Yeah. That's not in the budget.
No, that's not in the budget. So I really recommend finding, like you had the tacos, finding some kind of a recipe or two that are your go-to, that you know how to do, you've mastered, you got this down, you know you can afford it, that would be what you do. And you know what? Your friends are going to adore you for that. Another book I read by Shauna Nyquist has this group of friends that they meet together, and they have like 10 or 12 things they make continually. All of them kind of have their little specialty, and they make it. And they're not out to impress with their cooking. They're out to really be together as the whole thing in their gatherings.
I think your idea earlier, too, with the potluck is wonderful, because everybody can bring their own, and kind of the cross-cultural thing you're talking about is people can bring what they know for their own culture, and then everybody else can experience it and share together. And also, when we had our first housewarming party, we didn't have enough chairs for everybody, so it was a bring your own chair. So that worked out really well. So you just put the need out there, and
I love that.
Sanjay added into his last message, he says, personally, I feel privileged to be let into a lived-in, less-than-perfect home.
Absolutely. Well, you're so much more comfortable.
Yeah. He said it sends a message of intimacy. I welcome you into my personal space.
Exactly. In fact, I had this on my list of why we don't do this. And one of those things is because we value privacy over intimacy and relationships. Ouch. And that's kind of true, because we can hide all kinds of things in there, you know, in our home. We can just hide things, and we can keep revealing who we really are to others.
Yeah. Could we also offer like a little hit and run dinner, where you say, you're welcome to come 52 minutes. By the time you get here and eat, you can be gone in 52 minutes. I mean, I thought it would be a good idea.
You might want to rethink that.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm
52 minutes?
Well, I mean, you can come over like it's on a Tuesday night and get here at 6, and by 10 to 7 you can leave. But I'm going to feed you. Isn't that offering hospitality
as well? Fast food hospitality.
Well, I'm just saying. It's like you can feed people more regularly if you offer a little.
Yeah, you can do hospitality in a way that suits who you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It should be unique to you.
Right.
I happen to love to cook. I love to try out new recipes on people. You probably don't love to do that.
I like to eat fast.
You like to eat fast and talk fast.
I don't want to get to someone's house and have 90 minutes before I get food.
Well, I know. That's kind of my pet peeve at receptions, too,
you know? Yeah.
Little too long of a happy hour.
Yeah. So I said to a friend who wanted me over for dinner, I'll come over, but I don't have to stay more than an hour. We can just make this quick. And he goes, great. So I went over, we ate in an hour, I was gone. I was going, this is a perfect world I'm living in.
Carissa, could this be a man thing?
It could be.
It could be.
It is, actually.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Why do I talk?
Sorry, we're not picking on you. We're really not.
No.
So anyway, there's a lot of things that keep us from doing it. And honestly, I think that the Lord, who has been so gracious to us, so welcoming to us, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open the door, I'll come in with you and I will sup with you. He wants to sit at your table of your life. He wants to have that intimacy with you. This is why we come to his table on a regular basis in the communion. We're coming and he wants us to be intimate with us. If we're intimate with him, we can have the security then to be intimate with others in our homes.
That is all the time we have. We just got a nice text from a listener. This topic of hospitality is so interesting. I haven't taken notes, but I wished I would have. Is there a way to download this program? Yes, there is. MyFaithRadio.com. You can check out the podcast. It should be up in about a half hour under the Afternoons with Bill. You'll see it nice and clear. That wraps up the show. Thank you so much to Guy Talk, Segment 3. That was a ton of fun. And to Bev Canaris for being in studio with me and being joined by Carissa Rogers as well. Have a great night, everyone. As you're laying your head on that pillow, know that God is writing his story in your life. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.